Matthew chapter 26, we'll start reading in verse number 30. Verse number 30, the Bible says, "And when they had sung and hymned." Well, I don't know if you know what the custom was, but it's Passover. And it's customary at Passover, after the supper, they sing. And the song that they sung, the hymn that they sang, is in your Bible. It starts out in Psalm chapter 113. And it goes through Psalm chapter 118. And so they sang for a while. So it's okay if we sing and sing for a while in it. I like to sing. I like good singing. I think singing kind of sets the mood for the services, don't you? Troubles can be neck deep all week long. Troubles can be so big that even by the time Sunday school is over and you thought that you was going to be encouraged a little bit. And you get into church and you're thinking, wow, I'm ready to worship God now. Trouble still. Be so big, it's hard to get your mind on worship. Anybody besides me ever noticed that? Sunday school is supposed to be a pleasure. I've often told our, I don't even know why I'm here, but here I am. We have Sunday school next door, and we just, I ain't telling what we love. We're talking about whippings this morning. Amen. Just trying to find out. Alex wasn't in there, so I don't know nothing about him now. Just trying to find out who had and who had not never had a whipping. Oh, yeah. Leave it there, Brother Darnell. Leave it there. You'd never guess. Well, maybe you would. I mean, Sunday school is supposed to be pleasurable. I found out I know one thing. Sunday school ain't. It ain't college. Huh? Anybody ever been to college in here? All of you's got your hands up. Did you hate it? That's what I thought. You could probably say, man, I wish I'd never done this. This is boring. This is costing me money. And I don't even know if I'm going to make it through the end of it. Sunday school is not a session of arguments. Now, the devil might would have you think different on that. And Brother Tracy, he might even give you liberty to stir up one. But the Holy Ghost wouldn't. Well, you probably didn't come to hear that, but you got it for free anyway. Amen. Amen. I like to see them little old children come out of Sunday school and they're happy and they got their papers they've drawn on and they're having a good time. And amen. Adults come out and they look like... Y'all had a free-for-all in here or something. I don't know what happened. Amen. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, there's a reason for that, too. The Bible said in verse 31, "Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Father, I pray that You'd help us, Lord. You know I need You. God, how I do beg for Your touch this morning. Pray, God, You'd help me. God, help these that are here. I thank You for everyone that's here. I pray, O God in heaven, God, that we'll leave here today with something stirred on our heart that'll encourage us to live more for You and less for us. Have Your way. Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You for what You do. And how you do it, in Christ's name I ask. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. in honor of the reading of the Bible. And we talked about that singing that goes on after the Passover. Well, if you just look back just a few short verses, you'll find out that that's exactly where they were. I mean, they were. Verse number 17, Bible said, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, said to him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?'" What if you go back just a little bit further, you'll find out the Bible says in verse number 6, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper." So we find out that they're in a house. We find out that they're having Passover. And we're finding out now that they're singing, but yet they've gone out to the Mount of Olives. I got to wondering about that, Brother Mike. Why did they go out there? Did you ever notice that everywhere Jesus went and everything Jesus did, it caused turmoil? Now, He never did try to cause a turmoil for you. He never did try to cause a turmoil for me. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. What He did was try to make it where you and I could have peace. He said, "Not as the world giveth thee, but my peace I give thee." So there's a difference between a worldly peace and a godly peace. So what I'm looking at right here, He has left this house because knowing good and well if they'd have come out and broke into about 5 chapters of Psalms with Him being right in the middle of it, leading it, it would have caused turmoil in that house. They already had enough turmoil in that house. They've already seen Lazarus be led from the dead. They've already seen the problems that anybody that's ever put their 100% trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have to face. Someone said one time, when you get saved, it'll be an easy walk to walk with Christ. I don't know who that was. But they was just about as goofy as a football bat. Somebody say amen right there. That didn't make a bit of sense, did it? Since I've been saved, if it ain't been one thing, it's been another. If it ain't been one trouble, it's been another. If it ain't been one battle, it's been another. If it hadn't been one attack, it's been another. And I'm not saying the devil's done all that. We give the devil way too much credit when we ought to be saying, "Lord, I'm sorry, I'm the one called that." The devil, I'm wondering, the Bible says that he accuses the brethren daily. I've wondered how many times that he might be standing before the Lord and standing up there and an accusation be come out. Somebody says, "The devil made me do it." And he goes, "That wasn't me that time. That wasn't me. I was standing right here with you. You was questioning me. I didn't have nothing to do with that." And you just see the Lord say, "I know. I know." Nobody wants to take credit for their own blame. I don't want to. When I do something dumb and goofy, I don't want to have to say, "Man, that was dumb and goofy and I did it." But sometimes we have to take credit. Somebody say amen right there. Don't let him go to sleep. We see right here where he says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So I want to look at this right here for just a little while. Some predictions after supper. Some predictions after supper. How many can remember back in the old days whenever folks used to eat supper and they just go out and sit on the porch and just rest a little bit? Anybody remember that? I remember my mama's daddy just as sure as 2 is 4. He got finished with supper. There's 2 things he wanted. He wanted his rocking chair on the front porch and a cigarette. Well, that rocking chair won't hurt you. I'd have thought more people than 2 would have said amen right there. But I'll say it again. That rocking chair won't hurt you. But that cigarette, it'll make you not hunt a rocking chair. Well, he left the rocking chair and moved into a casket. can always tell whenever you put a damper on things, Brother Alex. You know, just you didn't mean to. You really didn't mean to. Just kind of come out real easy, just flowed. And you know, it's like you can preach on smoking, and people go, preach on chewing tobacco. Two people make faces of it. Them that don't chew, they're like, you know. And them that do, go. I don't care if folks chew tobacco. I don't care if folks smoke. I would just ask one thing. Please, if you're smoking and I happen to walk up, don't blow smoke on me. Amen. Amen. I quit. I quit 34, almost 35 years ago. I quit. Hallelujah. Never breathe better. Amen. Thank God. I quit so many things back then, I can't even name them all. It's not right to name them in the house of God. Thank God. Amen. And so I want to look at some predictions. These old timers, when they'd move out on the porch after supper, you know what they'd do, Brother Donnie? They'd talk about things that need to be done. Now tomorrow, Lord willing, we need to get out there and get that field plowed. Tomorrow, if it don't rain, we got to get that crop in. Yeah, I mean, just all kind of predictions, Brother Mike. Might have been tomorrow, if we able to, we're going to have to go to the doctor. We got doctor's appointments. When you get older, that's what you do. When you're younger, you work in the field. When you get older, you go to the doctor. Amen. And I promise you, I'd much rather be able to get out in the field than to go to the doctor sometimes in this life. But Jesus, verse 31, then saith Jesus unto them. This is after they had had the Passover. This is after they have left the home of Simon the leper. This is after Mary has anointed his head with oil. This is after they've sung Psalms 113, 14, 15, 16. And sometimes they would sing Psalms 136. And after all this stuff, they're there. They've left this house to keep from causing turmoil in this house. They know Jesus, the good Lord, knows that anywhere where He's at, where He's trying to teach or He's trying to preach, there's problems with Gary. They hated Him. The Pharisees. You want to see Pharisees come alive? Usually, you ain't going to like this. Usually, it's when the Lord Jesus was teaching. You know, there ain't nothing changed. You have to watch out in Sunday school, Pharisees speak up. That's a teaching time, Brother Charles. Is that right? You think anything different than it was a long time ago? Amen. I guarantee if you was to ask. We don't have Pharisees in our Sunday school class where we're at over there. If we do, we don't let them speak up. Amen. We just, you know, like I say, somebody won't be Pharisee. I say, I'm thinking in my mind, they just being Pharisee. I ain't going to let them say nothing. But I got a good report, Brother Tracy. We don't have nobody like that in our class. Amen. Amen. We have had them in church before. I didn't let them speak up either. Amen. Amen. You just kind of keep losing. Amen. Can't open the floor to some kind of open forum and foolishness come about. The next thing you know, you're going to be preaching against Ford Mustangs and preaching against Plymouth GTX. See, y'all don't even know what that is. Y'all don't know what that is. And Brother Darnell, if he wasn't blind, he'd have made a lap right then. Amen. But I don't want him to get hurt, so you stay right there. We'll go with him if you have to, Brother Donnie. Then said Jesus unto them, now they're at the Mount of Olives, and Brother Tracy, he wouldn't even leave them in Jerusalem. I'm talking about these Pharisees, whenever they come about, they cause problems in a home. They cause problems in a town. He said, I'm not going to let this problem that's fixing to rise, and if you read the rest of this chapter, you know what transpires. He said, I'm not going to let these problems arise neither in these people's home nor in the town where they live. So I'm taking it out of town. Because he knew what was coming. He knew where Judas was. Judas, as far as I know, is the only one that's not here right now. Judas is in town trying to make a little deal. Judas is in town talking to the high priest. He's talking to them trying to figure out how much is it worth to y'all for me to forsake him. Have you ever noticed that it don't last long when you think something was worth something and come to find out that was a poor investment? That was a bad decision. That's something that I shouldn't have done right there. Hey, that's something I shouldn't have said right there. It don't take long after you've said it, after you've done it. Well, I mean, whenever they had arrested the Lord, if you think about it, and they took him in, and Judas goes back to him and said, hey, he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Here's the money back. And they wouldn't even take it. They wouldn't even take it. It wasn't about the money to them. It wasn't about the money. It was about them getting what they wanted, and that was victory over him. Let's look at verse number 31. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. The subject here that we're looking at, we've seen the place, the site is the Mount of Olives where it all took place. And then we see the subject, and then there's something going on. So we're looking at what's going to happen. He said, you shall be offended. We see this, the character, if you will, of the offending. There's some character going off in this offending. What does this word offending mean? What the Lord is saying is, you're going to leave me. You know what the character of this is, Brother Gary? Desertion. Have you ever never seen such an hour as we live in now? You want to see some fun? I don't know how it is in Atlanta, but I mean down here in South Georgia, you just make somebody mad and desertion. They gone. All you got to do is preach against whatever they don't like. Amen. If they like wooden spoons, preach against wooden spoons. They're like, see ya. If they like Toyotas, preach against Toyotas. They're like, see ya. Folk is looking for, and I know I'm being really facetious in those expectations there, but they're looking for some reason to desert. They're looking for a reason to evacuate. They're looking for a reason to leave. It's a horrible. I'd hate to know that when I stood before God, one thing that I might would have as a name tag. Wouldn't it be something, Brother Darnell, if He gave us name tags in heaven? You know, if I had a name tag, I'd want something like faithful. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Hey. I wish I could get one of these. Now I can't, but I wish I could have one that said good singer. Charles? Easy now. I wish I could get one that said extra kind. I wish I could have one that said humble. Well, I wish I could. Wouldn't you hate to know that you got to heaven and you got one that said, deserter? Or abandoned? Wouldn't you hate to know that? He's telling them, y'all are fixing to leave me. They're going to be offended. Well, let's don't throw rocks at them. Let's don't. I mean, this is the ones he chose. Right? And I mean, you got to be honest with me. Now think about it. They've seen him do some powerful miracles. I mean, they have seen him do things that they couldn't do. There were situations where they tried to do some things, but darn it, they couldn't do it. And he told them, he said, these come forth with prayer and fasting.
Right.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it. He had to do it. So they know. I mean, when he said, you fix and leave me, he said, you're going to be offended. You know what really offended them most of them, more than anything? The fact that he laid his life down and wouldn't fight back. Because that's where he's at right here. He literally, they didn't kill him. He said, no man takes my life from me. We see that the character, there's an offending, but then there's a cause that they're going to be offending. And he said, because of me. Wouldn't it have made more sense to you and me if he had said, because of Judas? Well, that ain't know what we do. If somebody does something wrong, if you're building something and somebody cuts the board short, I ain't taking the blame for it. If somebody comes by and knocks a hole in the wall, they said, Brother Edward, who knocked the hole in the wall? I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to say it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Wouldn't it have made more sense if he'd have said, because of Judas? Well, there have been times that y'all looked around here and you said, well, that happened because of Brother Edward now. How come we didn't have a good service tonight? Well, Brother Edward, he just wasn't on tonight. How come Sunday school wasn't all that good? Well, Brother Mike, he just, maybe if Brother Mike's left alone, not interrupted so much, he might have better liberty to teach. Did I say that?
You did.
I said it out loud? Amen. Sit and be quiet, I told you. Thank you, Brother Darnell. I'm saying that we can easily put the blame on somebody else, but Jesus didn't. He said, you're going to be offended because of me. That's powerful. He who knew no sin said, because of me. Because of me, you're going to leave. Because of me, you're going to quit. You know what people started doing ever since this was written? Using the Lord for an excuse to get to leave. They're going to have a name tag in heaven. It's going to say, deserted because of Christ. Well, if you summed it up, they might say it like this. Offended. I don't want that. I don't want that, Charles. Right here he says that the cause is because of me. Then we see the celerity in it, and we see when is this going to happen? I mean, they're dumping some, he's putting some big things on his disciples. He said, this night. Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me now that first off, I'm going to be offended because of you? I'm going to leave? I'm going to quit? I have followed you. I left my boat. I left my family. I left my job. I left my income. I've done everything that I could to try to live right, to walk right, to walk with you, Lord. I've done everything. You pointed what I should and shouldn't do. We sat on the Mount of Olives. You taught from Matthew, I believe it's about 5, 6, 7, and 8 that he taught. You taught, and now, And now you're saying that I'm going to be offended so bad, and it's going to be because of you? I'm going to quit. You're saying I'm quitting because of you, and I'm quitting tonight. You don't tell me that ain't big. The more I looked at this text and read it, Brother Mike, I read it over and over and over. And the more I would read it, I'd have to read in front of it, and I'd have to read behind it. And the Lord has given them something right here to let them know that this is one of the biggest obstacles of their life. That if they're not careful, it can devastate their Christian walk. You know, some of the best Christians, I've been in this thing, I've been saved since 1972. I've been in the ministry since 1987. This, I've seen too many times, Brother Charles, people walk out on God with no excuse. So instead of taking credit for having no excuse other than just being backslidden, they blamed it on somebody. Well, Brother Gary, it wasn't just a somebody. It was somebody special. It was somebody in the bride. They blamed it on somebody in the church. You see what I'm saying right there? You ever notice? I've noticed this. I've been pastor. This is my 20th year this year. And I've noticed this, brother. I've noticed this. There's been a lot of times that folk would get kind of distraught with me. I'm trying to use good words that don't sound like they was mad as the devil, okay? They was distraught. You know what I really mean by that, don't you? They wanted to kill me. All right. And I've seen it, Brother Tracy. And they wouldn't say nothing to me. You know what they would do? They'd say something to my bride. And if they couldn't get a hold of my bride, they'd get a hold of my children. Brother John preached a little bit in here last night. Done a great job. Boy, y'all missed a blessing. Wow. I mean, didn't he do good? Wow. So what did he do? He just stood up here and cried about 15 minutes. He's raised in a preacher's home. He knows what it's like. And I'm telling you what folk has done is, instead of being able to blame Christ for all that has happened right here in the day and hour we live in, the reason they're looking for, they have to blame somebody at church. Well, you know, y'all don't, down there where y'all go, they don't have big enough ice cream sandwiches. And I mean, who doesn't love ice cream sandwiches? How can you not? God bless you, young man. You have, that other church has ice cream sandwiches. It's humongous. And y'all got one scoop. See, I can't fellowship with y'all. I can't. I've heard them say, down there, folk just ain't all that friendly. Then I've heard other good people say folks friendly. What a blessing. I love to hear people say they're friendly over at y'all's church. That encouraged my heart. I'm thinking, well, y'all stay, and I know some of them will run off, and you take their place because you're friendly. All right. But you know, I don't go to church because people's friendly. I go to church because I got saved. And that's where I can grow in the Lord. Amen. If I was just looking for credentials in people, amen. Wow, what would I have looked for? I don't know. He said, because of me, we see also that he says, this night, quickly, hurriedly, hastily, this night, tonight, we're going to going to have baptism tonight. We'll have baptism tonight. But what if I was to say, after baptism, I won't see you no more because you'll quit. You know what's strange down here? We can make references back and forth, okay? Because I've been to Atlanta, and I know there's a lot of good churches up that way. A lot of good churches. And there's a lot of good churches down here, too. One. And, and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thought I was all alone for a second there. And, what if we said we're going to have baptism tonight? And Tyler's not coming back. Taylor. I'm sorry. I said Tyler. Jaleel's not coming back. Who else? I've seen some more hands. There's a bunch of people raise their hands trying to get baptized now. I don't even know who it was. Sam. Paige is not coming back. She lives right next door. If they don't come back, I'm just going to go over and eat supper with them every night. We'll teach them. We'll see. We're going to come eat supper with y'all every night till y'all come back to church, okay? All right. And the bulldog's going to have to go. We'll eat him too. All right. Hey, you say, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. Well, I baptized about 15 in here one night, and about half of them ain't seen since. Remember that? I'm not as big on baptism. So if you ain't been saved, if you ain't been saved for just a little while, I probably won't baptize you tonight. It's not mandatory. It's not mandatory. It ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. I want to see if you really mean it. If you're faithful to God or not. Amen. Faithful to the church. Not going to leave here and go across town and act crazy like I've done in my life and so bad seed and bad testimony. And then one day somebody hit me up in the corner and said, where you go to church at? Oh, over at Camden. I stand in line. I said, preacher, you know, they stand in line. And I stand up there and this fellow come up behind me. And he was trying to be kind of humorous, you know. And that's okay. I don't mind that. I like a little humor. Don't y'all? I mean, just Mary Hart knows it's good like a medicine, the Bible says. And this fellow come up behind me. And he says, I sing songs. I said, that's good, I do too. And so he goes on by. He said, but I sing old songs like oldies and little R&B and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, I'm getting this in my head while he's talking. He's singing oldies. I think about oldies. I'm thinking about the Temptations. Well, thank all three of y'all. I thought more people in here know who the Temptations was than that. They do. They just don't want to say so. I'm the members out there. And I could go across with a whole list of oldies. And y'all sit down, the more I mention them, the bigger your smile gets. Amen. And then he says, and then little R&B, and I'm thinking, Isaac Hayes? Huh? I'd like to hear this man 65 years old. Singing, what's that song? He's like, Shaft. Oh, I better leave that alone. Anyway. And so he's going on and on and on. And he hands me a card and I said, well, I appreciate that, but really I try not to listen to that stuff anymore. I said, I pastor a church and I try to encourage our people to sing gospel music. And I try to sing gospel music. I really like Mega. He goes, oh, I'm a minister myself. I said, yeah. Well, I could have picked. If he'd give me three picks, I could have picked what church he went to. But he just volunteered it. And so I always just kind of liked this. I mean, they're going to dig a little deeper like that. That's a song. Y'all didn't get it. Okay. And if they're going to volunteer that information, I can't help but without fail, I always got to ask this. What's your pastor's name over there? I know who he is, but I'm going to slip my mind. I got to do it every time, Brother Mike. I got to do it. He said, oh, man, if you hadn't asked me, I could have told you. Oh, yeah. You say, there ain't no, I wouldn't put on. He come to me. You better be sure. You in this thing, you real? Somebody going to put you on the spot one day with a question. You ask Darnell Robinson who his pastor is, he'll tell you. And he ain't got to go, oh, man, oh, wow, oh, oh. Oh, what's his name? I was just there last year. Oh. The Lord said tonight. Tonight. We see the character in this offending. We see the cause in this offending. We see the celerity in this offending. Tonight. Not only that, there's some more things coming up. And if you're not careful, while you're wondering where everybody else is, in your heart you'll be traveling down the highway of life too. You say, how do you know? Because I've been there. I'm like, wow. Where's Sister Carol at? Where's Sister Carol? Brother Ron? Oh, where they at? I'm going to go look for them. No. You don't get out of the boat to go look for somebody that you don't know where they're at. You don't, listen to me, you don't miss one service going to try to get somebody in that's out. Well, there used to be some folks sitting right here. They went to get somebody back in that got out. Look at them. And it wasn't this lady right here. And when folk asked me, Brother Darnell, they said, look, preacher, this person's gone and they're, you know, I think I'm going to go visit with them and see if I can get, you know what I'm going to say? Don't do it. I've said don't do it too many times, brother. Too many, and every time they've done it anyway, they're gone. This night. Let's look quickly. Number three, not only is there the subject here, but I want you to see what they've done. He said, I will smite the shepherd. Oh, Zechariah chapter 13, verse number 7. Zechariah chapter 13, don't turn there, I'll read it. The Bible said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Can I say this tonight? Zechariah knew something about the Lord coming back. That's prophetic. That's a prophetic verse is what that is. And can I say tonight, whenever the Lord was smitten, you know what the disciples did? They scattered. In the day and hour we live in right now, if a pastor doesn't take care of the sheep, if he doesn't feed the sheep, if he doesn't guard the sheep, if he doesn't take care of the sheep, you know what somebody will do, Brother Tracy? They'll come in and they'll want to smite the shepherd. And the sheep scatter. Now, we're living in the hour, and I hate to say this, if your pastor is a TV evangelist, let me remind you that church, TV church, ain't church. That ain't church. I think I put something on there about that. TV church ain't church or something like that. And a lot of people said, but I love the what? Recorded. I listened to a message this morning. I listened to half a dozen yesterday. I didn't miss church for none of it. But we're living in an hour where if a preacher gets up and he preaches against sin, we mentioned that earlier, if a preacher gets up and he preaches against, he said this is the will of God that you abstain from fornication. Is that right? And so if you preach against fornication, people say, well, them guys on TV, they don't preach. That's why I love them. Yeah.
That's
why I love them.
Right.
They never say nothing to hurt my feelings. Can I say this morning, a real shepherd, he's got a sling. And he's got rocks. And if a wolf comes by, he's ready to kill it. I'm giving you something out of the Bible right now. If I had some Bible readers in here this morning, they'd say amen right there. If a bear comes by, he's ready to kill it. Or if some big old loud mouth cussing giant, because he's loud, he looks bigger than everybody else. Cussing giant. I got a rock just for him too. Now, I'm not opening the door for any kind of challenges. Please understand that. I found out, Brother Larry, too many times you preach against things and there's a test coming right behind it. Huh? I tell you what I ain't going to do. We'll see. I tell you what I would never do as a Christian before God in heaven. I would never. This night. There's a smiting. And then there's a scattering. Where'd I go? Out of 12, one of them hung himself. Out of 12, only one followed. And he followed from afar off. We live in a small town, this small town. And it's real, like being folks, small town. It's real hard to go around town here and not see somebody that you know. It's hard. It's getting a little harder because it is growing some. But it's hard for me. My wife, she dare not send me uptown for a loaf of bread. I'm at be gone 2 hours because I'm gonna see somebody. Yeah, I went by and got ice cream last night and see Ian in the store, and I had to preach to him because I knew he wouldn't get to come this morning. And I got home with 2 half gallons of ice cream that was more like a milkshake, but it was still good. Thank the Lord. Helps your diabetes. It's real hard to live in a town this size and not see somebody we know, but Chris. And that being the case, those sheep that scattered when you go up to the parts house or the Walmart or the restaurant, you mighty apt to see somebody. And that's when you're going to find out. Now, down there, Brother Edward, being honest, can I be honest with you, Brother Edward? One day somebody's going to say that, I'm going to go, no. Don't want no honesty right here, okay? None. You got to be honest. You go your way and I'll go mine. I hear it every time. The reason, they ain't no young people, that church over there. So we're going to pull ours out. You ain't got no Sunday school. We might not have a Sunday school like Jack Hiles had. But if you want to do some real investigating about that, read about how they grew that Sunday school. The Lord said this night. Today's the 2nd of July. Half this year's gone. Wow. Isn't it amazing? Now, if you're a young person, you're like, ain't it dragging? But if you've reached about 50 to 60, somewhere along there, you're like, wow, where'd it go? You're going to go to sleep tonight, and tomorrow's Christmas, okay? And some of y'all are happy about that. I can see it. But that's how fast it seems like it's going. And the Lord said this night, I wonder, after this night, who's going to still be following? Today's a busy day. Church, nursing home, church tonight, baptism. Busy day. You know what most Christians don't want, Brother Charles? They don't want to be busy. My family just got back from that meeting up there in Traveler's Rest, Greenville. All week, busy. My wife has babysat. She come home, I finally got her out of the car. And we passed a car that had kids in it going to the house. She said, pull over and I'll kill them kids. No, I'm just kidding. Tiffany, cut that back. Back it up. She didn't say that, really. I'm kidding, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry. I didn't mean. But Donnie said, amen. You know what I'm saying, baby. After this night, this night might not be the night that would make you forsake him. But tomorrow night might be. Tuesday night might be. The message Wednesday night might be the one puts you down the road. You know what's always a blessing me, brother? We got some folk that's been in this church through some real powerful storms. And their minds made up that if I'm going to continue on in this Christian life, God's going to give me what I need at church. And though I get offended at the brethren, or the sistering, or the children, or the preacherin, I'm just going to keep coming. Because this is where I get my help. Too many times I've watched God do what God said He would do at the church. I never heard nobody walk out of a honky-tonk saying, boy, didn't God move tonight. I never heard nobody walk out of a club with a six-pack of beer. A bottle of liquor said, well, didn't the Lord bless us tonight? Mm-hmm. I seen a fellow last night run out of the grocery store. I got to tell this. He's running out of the grocery store. He's hurrying because he's holding his six-pack. And I seen him walking. He said, you know what I had to do? You know I did. I'm talking to my wife on the phone. I said, I got to go. I'll talk to you in a minute. But Sean, I took that photo. Pulled in there real quick. Jumped out of the car. Hey, brother! He goes, oh, hey, preacher. He was real pale looking. He's a white man, but he dropped several shadows. See? Hey, be sure. You say, God didn't make you the spiritual police, did he? No. I just volunteered. He said, well, okay, if you'll volunteer, it won't cost me nothing. Amen. That same man, Brother Tracy, has sat right here. called his name, you'd know him. He was real faithful in the church. He was real faithful. But something happened. He got offended. Now, some of you young folk, I'm going to tell you something. The devil has some things out there to help you be offended. He's waiting patiently on you to hear something you don't like, so he can stir it. You read the rest of this chapter, this whole chapter. They come get him. They come get the Lord. And then they take him before the high priest, Caiaphas. Caiaphas can't get nothing done like what he wants to get done. So they take him to the governor. And the governor said, all these people making accusations against you, what'd you really do? He never said nothing. Then he's got to decide, what am I going to do with him? Here's what will happen to you. You'll have to decide one day what you're going to do with him. You're going to follow him? Are you going to be faithful to him? Or you're going to crucify him? And the crucifying that you do won't kill him. It'll just blot him out of your mind so you can live in your sin. It's Passover. Come to the piano. It's a custom. It's Passover, Brother Donnell. They turned somebody loose.
Yeah.
They said, who would you have me to turn loose? They said, give us Barabbas.
Yeah.
A murderer?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? They would say, give us the murderer and let's kill the man that they have proven has done nothing wrong. In the year 2017, I don't know what people's looking for no more. I've watched God move around here. I've seen people get saved. I've watched God move and stir hearts. I've seen people come in and I'm telling you, just rejoice in their heart that God done something for them that night. And then they don't come back. Someone, what are they looking for? What would it take? No offense if you go to one of these churches, but we're not going to have a rock band. We're not going to have club music in God's house. Everybody know what club music is? The Lord said this. This is for your little home. Sweet little couple. Right? She's just about due any second. Don't bump it. When you do, 6 days. Move down, sir. No, I'm just kidding. Don't bump it. He said, be holy, for I'm holy. You want a happy home? You make sure there's holiness in your house. That's a fight. That's a fight, Brother Mike. You know what it is. But we're wrestling against flesh and blood, powers, principalities, rulers, those that are in charge, rulers of spiritual wickedness. You know what spiritual wickedness is? It's summed up in one word: idolatry. And you never admit this to yourself, but you should. The greatest idol that you've ever owned is you. Everything you do is for you. Every argument you've ever had, Brian McBride preached, one of the greatest preachers. You know Brian McBride is one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life. I'm saying, brother, one of the best. He preached 2 weeks ago in Jacksonville. Can you believe a woman went up to him after church to rebuke him? I'm honest. I'm amazed that God didn't send a bear in the side door. He's a great preacher. Doctrinally right. As far as I know. I couldn't tell how many times I've had people say, preacher, let me... I don't know what you're trying to say right there. I'm going to start doing like this. Oh, it's all to you. Cut them off. Cut them off. Oh, it's all to you. It wasn't for you. They're looking for something to be offended. Brother Mark McGee used to say every year, I wonder who won't be back next year when I come. Today, 2nd of July, 2017, if the Lord don't come back this time next year, I wonder if somebody will be missing from here. You found what you're looking for to be offended in. It's available. But I just say, ignore it. And go on with God. Let's all stand together. Maybe this morning, maybe the tempter has really been placing some things on you, and maybe it has kind of made you feel like, wow, I've been offended. If you'll admit, I'm going to talk to my wife, okay? That way nobody will think I'm talking to them. If you'll admit to yourself that you're easily offended, you might as well go admit to yourself, I'm fixing to leave. Judas is gone. Peter's falling apart. And nobody else is there. They all left, just like he said. If you'll admit you're easily offended, if you feel like you've got to do some correcting, there's something that's not satisfied down in your soul. And the Lord said, oh, yeah. Tonight. Could you imagine how their heart dropped? Could you imagine the Lord looking right at you tonight? That broke my heart. They don't want to break our heart. Let's bow our heads just a moment. Nobody looking around, please.